Welcome to The Human Beat. I'm Roger Rocca.
So we are talking today with Justin Dersham. He's the Clatsop County Animal Control Supervisor. And with Lily Tollefson, who is with Clatsop Animal Assistance. So welcome to both of you. I'm glad to have you here.
Thank you, Roger.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Lily, I'm curious, how does Clatsop Animal Assistance fit in and dovetail with the animal shelter? What is it that you do?
Sure. Clatsop Animal Assistance, which we all call CAA, works incredibly close with the shelter. We're kind of almost one in the same in a way.
It's a volunteer. It can sometimes be hard to tell who's doing what.
we share a lot of mutual responsibility with what happens at the shelter. CAA is an entirely volunteer-driven organization. So I think right now we have over 100 active volunteers in the organization itself. And so what CAA does, and one of the cornerstones of its founding, which, fun fact, this is our 25th year as an organization this year, which is pretty remarkable that we've been in the community for decades now. But it was kind of founded on the cornerstone of providing medical care for animals in Clatsop County Animal Shelter. That was one of the kind of founding principles that CAA was set up for, and it continues today. So CAA provides medical care and medical coverage for any animal seeking medical treatment. So any animal that leaves the shelter to go to the vet, CAA covers those costs. We also help supplement the cost of spay and neuter for animals in our care, and just a lot of enrichment for animals with us at the shelter. Dog walks, cat care, vet transport, fosters, adoption events. The list is pretty endless. But yeah, we kind of live there too, just like Justin and all the staff at the shelter. It's a huge part of our lives.
So now, are all of the volunteers at the animal shelter, are they with you, or are there separate volunteers for the shelter, or how's that work?
There are very few separate volunteers that are with the shelter that are not with CAA. We try to encourage the overlap because it helps us be far more versatile. And I would say that the vast, vast majority of the volunteer work that is done at the shelter is participating with CAA.
Justin, the last time we talked, we were talking about an animal shelter that was crammed to the gills. It had gone from a low during the pandemic, when it was almost all adopted out, to after the pandemic, it just skyrocketed. Where are we now?
Oh, man, we're still full. It ebbs and flows, and we've seen some of those ebbs and some of those flows since we've talked last. Mm-hmm. At the moment, we are sitting over capacity. We've expanded our foster program, which helps us to increase our capacity. We now have at current 35 foster facilities that have a total of 48 pets in those foster facilities, and that doesn't include what I currently have in shelter. I did a formal head count last week, and we were at about 112 animals in custody right now.
Wow.
So it's a lot. It's a lot to care for. That's why we appreciate CAA. They manage most of those foster facilities, as well as the vet care and everything for the animals that are coming in and out of them.
Well, I was going to say, that is an awful lot of fosters to have found and to be working with and managing.
Absolutely. And we could always use more. Fostering is just one of the life-saving volunteer areas that we kind of offer to our community. And you can see the difference that fosters make for animals. A lot of times fosters will be fostering an animal that's needing like medical recovery from a surgery or, just something that the shelter's a stressful environment, right? So having them in a foster home helps them recover more quickly, and then get ready for adoption sooner. But yeah, we really rely on our fosters as well as all of our volunteers.
Well, what are you looking for in a foster? I mean, that's kind of a hard job because you're taking care of an animal and giving it, you know, basically your care and your love, and likely you're going to let it go at some point, and that's a hard thing to do.
So, sure.
So how have you managed to round up so many, first of all, and what are you looking for in a foster?
Oh, well, rounding up people is just that we have a miraculous group of very caring people and people with huge capacity to do good. So that's, I think people understand that their efforts make an incredible difference, right? So I know it can be difficult. I was actually talking with one of our fosters about this, and she was saying that being able to know that what you're doing in that day, in that moment, will help this pet for its entire lifetime is fulfilling enough to offset how difficult it is. And a lot of our fosters actually have pets at home as well. And so it's kind of, they have their own little family there, and it's just someone they're helping along the way. But yeah, it's difficult, but in a good way.
I was wondering about that, if the fosters were people who might already have pets and are just adding to their family, or...
And in some cases, and fosters can be 2 or 3 days. We have a dog in our care right now who needs a foster just for a few days. So it can be a really minimal amount of time, or it can be a few months. We also have a lot of foster fails, where someone will foster a pet and fall in love and say, yeah, they're coming with me and they're staying here.
But those are good fails.
Oh, those are great. Yeah, it's a good F.
And what about volunteers? Now, what do you look for in a volunteer, and what are some of the things that a volunteer does?
Oh, sure. Our volunteer opportunities are vast. We have several. So it can be from walking dogs to feeding cats and cuddling with cats, which is always really fun, helping host adoption events, transporting dogs to a vet, like I mentioned earlier. I think what we're looking for in a volunteer is anyone who is willing to dedicate their time, no matter 30 minutes a week, hours a week. It's just the need is great, just like the need to find homes for these animals. The need to have people help support the organization is almost as demanding. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of, I can't think of a second of a day where we couldn't use more volunteer help. And we really are dependent on our volunteers. It's also a great community to be a part of. Like, when I first started volunteering, it was pretty astounding to see just the dedication and care and the positivity of this group of people. So it's super fun, too. Yeah. You know, I can plug it pretty well as a volunteer.
Well, I know some of the people who are volunteering, and they are all really, to my mind, really good people.
So. I think so, too.
So what are the kinds of things? Now, I know some of them are walking the dogs. What else besides walking dogs?
Well, I'd say walking dogs is what I primarily do, and I love it. Mm-hmm. It's just a really great way to kind of clear your head and hang out with an awesome dog for a few hours a week and forget about the world. And it's evident that the efforts that we make as volunteers matter, because you can see it right in front of your face, like how important the effort we make is to that one particular animal at that one moment. We have feeders, so some of our volunteers feed on a daily basis. Cat care, which is something I'm not immediately involved in, but I get to witness all of our sweet volunteers cuddling cats, feeding, cleaning litter boxes, all of that really hands-on stuff. But, you know, also we need volunteers to help host adoption events, to do something as simple as write thank you notes for donations. So if any kind of skill or trait that you have, it can contribute, right? Mm-hmm. And then also, I think on a broader scale, local businesses can be utilized as volunteers as well, like hosting an adoption event at their business, donating to our holiday fundraisers for raffles, or something as simple as putting a CEA poster in their store window is a form of getting the word out there. And that's actually how I found out about CAA, was just one of those posters that I'm sure a lot of people listening have seen all over Clatsop County, the cute dog and cat posters. And I saw that in a window and signed up to volunteer. So no kind of drop of help is too small.
So along with doing hands-on work at the animal shelter, one of the things that CAA is doing is actually advocating on the behalf of the animal shelter, trying to get people involved, get people interested, get donations, I'm sure.
Correct, yeah. And to get dogs and cats into homes.
Yes, to get the adoptions done.
Yeah, it's hugely important.
Let me ask you about donations. If somebody would like to donate either their time or money to help out with this, how would they do that?
Sure. So volunteers all go through the shelter process. It also has a link on our website, which is clatsopanimalassistance.org. That's a really easy way to sign up and fill out a volunteer application and head in for a quick orientation just to learn about how we operate. I would encourage folks to do that. And then anyone who's interested in donating, anytime, any day throughout the year can also go to that website for our donation links. But we also are in full swing of our annual virtual fundraiser, the Happy Tales fundraiser, which was kind of incepted during COVID when no one could get together. So now we do it annually. So we do online donations from people in our community, businesses. And so that's online and on our website now, too. And then a fun way, which this will be my first year going, I'm excited. It's the CAA holiday party, which it happens right at Fort George in December. And that's a huge event. Hundreds of people come. There's a big sale. There's silent auction with all these local businesses have donated to us. And there's photos with Santa, so you can bring your dog or your cat. I don't know if we've ever had a cat.
I've never seen a cat.
Yeah. Well, hey, there's first time for everything. But you can bring your pet in and have a photo with Santa. It's just a really fun way to spend a day and a great way to generate some funds for the organization.
Well, Justin, the overcrowding at the shelter is not really just a Clatsop County problem. That's happening all over the country, isn't it?
It really is, yeah.
Do you have any thoughts about why that is? What's going on?
Oh, there's a lot of things. I think if anybody tries to look at a single community problem and tell you it boils down to one issue, one root cause, they're either delusional or they're lying to you. There's a lot going on. Our community here, I'm going to speak for that and not for the nation because this is what I know, but it's grown. Just a population increase by itself is enough to drive some of the shelter populations up. There's more dogs and cats here than there used to be. They came in with the people who moved to our community, and that requires more need. Veterinarians, boy, their overhead costs are not getting any lower, and they're passing a lot of those costs on to clients and customers. So veterinary costs keep going up. We see at the animal shelter all the time, and I know Clatsop Animal Assistance fields calls all the time, of people who are just struggling to keep up with basic veterinary care. And it's not an uncommon reason for surrender of a pet to the shelter. So we're seeing those kinds of things come up. Of course, if you're not going to spay and neuter your pet, your spay and neuter, or your pet is likely to reproduce, and that's going to create even more need. And so you get additional pets that are coming in. We also see fewer landlords these days that will accept pets into the properties that they own and are renting out. And so we see people who move to our community, they have pets, or they pick up a pet that they found along the way somehow. And next thing you know, they're being told, hey, you can't keep that here at your property. That's against your lease, your rental agreement, whatever else. And so then we see changes in housing resulting in people having to give their pets up. All of it is a compounding problem that increases the population in our shelter.
So it shouldn't be in a situation where we're blaming people for being heartless. There are actually solid reasons why some people are turning.
Very, very rarely. Yeah. And those are the animal control side of things that I do, where we go out into the community and we're educating people who maybe aren't doing things as well, and then taking enforcement action and actually prosecuting those people who deserve it. But that's a minority compared to the rest of the reasons that animals come into the shelter. Most of them are here because life circumstance took a turn, and it wasn't somebody being malicious. It was somebody who ran out of options.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've had to adapt and do some creative things in order to keep the idea of adopting in front of the public and so on. What are some of the things that are going on now? I know you were having a thing with vets that you were doing.
We did.
Veterans, not veterinarians.
Veterans, not veterinarians. It's, yes. Yeah, that one happened just kind of by circumstance. One of our local community members found themselves overwhelmed with the number of dogs that they had. And when I went to negotiate taking some of those off of their hands so that we could move them into other homes and lessen the burden there, the one stipulation was, can you adopt them to veterans first? And I had to do a little brainstorming to find out exactly how we could make that work logistically, but it wasn't a request I was inclined to refuse. Mm-hmm. And so we've made it work. It's been very well received by the community. The feedback that I've been getting has been remarkable, and I think it's something that we'll probably be continuing, you know, from time to time as it's appropriate.
Well, let's talk about adoptions for a little bit, and I'm sure this is something both of you can speak to. But let's see, the last dog I adopted from the animal shelter was Greta, Gretzi. And as part of that process, I visited her a couple of times. And then actually, you had a little pen out and back at that time and went out and played with her in the pen. And she kind of taught me that she liked to fetch. And as soon as she figured out that I could throw, well, the bond was formed, and Greta was just a wonderful, wonderful dog. And, you know, we've adopted a cat from there as well, and just wonderful animals. What about that adoption process? Is it important for somebody who wants to adopt to spend some time with that animal first, or how does that work?
Oh, absolutely. Every animal is an individual. You don't want to just come in there assuming that, you know, that dog that looks like the dog that you were there to see, or that cat that strikes your fancy is the right one. We really encourage potential adopters to talk about the animal with our volunteers who are showing that pet to them. The volunteers spend the most of our time with the pet, more so than the staff, so they know that pet. They know its attitude. They know its quirks. They have a good idea what environment it's going to thrive in and what environment it's not. And you may walk in there with an idea of what dog or what cat you want to see and leave with a completely different opinion based on what you've learned about the pets that are in shelter. We really want to make sure that the pets that leave are successful, so spending time getting to know them, and not just getting to know them, but talking about yourself with our volunteers so that we can make helpful suggestions, it's critical.
This is a weird question, but are there reasons to not adopt? I mean, are there people sometimes who adopt for the wrong reasons?
Oh, absolutely. And we try to catch those at the pass when they come in. We do deny applications because we think people would be a bad fit or they don't have the right idea of pet ownership. It does happen. We very much discourage giving pets away as a surprise gift. Mm. That almost never works out. You know, surprise, here's something you have to feed and care for and manage and train. And, you know, that doesn't go well most of the time. Sometimes we'll see people that will come in with the idea that they want the big, bad junkyard dog to protect their home. Our pets come sometimes from pretty traumatic experiences, and we certainly, especially from the animal control side of things, we're not trying to increase liability or public safety risks with the pets that we're sending back into the community. So if your plan is to turn this dog into a monster that's going to bite people, you're not going to see me supporting you in any way, shape, or form.
Right. Lily, you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that understanding that when you adopt an animal, it is a commitment for the length of that animal's life, not until, you know, if it chews on something or you're just not feeling it anymore. You know, it's a lifelong commitment, and you're that animal's family member, right? I think that, like Justin alluded to, that most people who come in are wanting to do it for the right reasons for them, but you also have to think about the right reasons for the dog or for the cat. And some of them have been in traumatic experiences, some of them have not and just need a home, but really think about that animal's needs too when you're considering adoption and the length of those needs, but also the length of the joy that they'll bring you too, right? So that's a huge part of it, but it is a real, real commitment. And just to speak to something earlier about the importance of spending time with them before making that commitment, this is also another plug for volunteerism, because that's actually how I now have my pup. And he was at the shelter for, I think, 8 or 9 months, and I started volunteering and walking him regularly and really getting to know him. And he was one of those types of dogs that I don't think I would have looked online and said, yep, this is the one. It just happened over time. And like, we're like, yeah, you're the guy. And we had that ability to get to know each other. And it also helped the transition home more. Zeus was a little bit of a wild guy when he first arrived. And I think he was one of those dogs that actually benefited from being at the shelter for a while, because he got really consistent care. And that was really helpful for him. So yeah, that's just another plug to become a volunteer, is that you are able to spend more of that quality time with the pets, but also why our volunteers are so valuable to our potential adopters, because they do have an understanding of that pet's personality and have been with it pretty consistently, you know, for the length of its time there.
When you're walking dogs, now you have different levels of walking, right?
We do,
you have the dogs sort of categorized into really lots of energy and big, and only certain people can walk those.
Correct.
And ones that are very easy to walk. How do you do that?
Sure. It's kind of based on two two measurements, right? It's the volunteer itself and what they can manage safely when walking, and then it's also the dog, or that, you know, what kind of, how strong they are, kind of traits that they have. And we have a system in place to kind of rate the dog and the volunteer. So we're making sure that we're placing people together, pets and volunteers, so for the safety of both the dog and the volunteer, right? And yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say that any dog is easy. There are easier ones. But, you know, just because it is a stressful environment and they're looking around and there's so many things going on. But that's another reason why being in a home is so important, because it just helps bring down that stress level. But yeah, it's just so fun. I just can keep saying it's just so fun to get out and walk some dogs. And even the difficult ones are just a joy. And you can play. We have a big play yard, which it sounds like you've been to. And it's fun just to throw a ball around and just watch them go. I mean, I have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of photos of these shelter dogs on my phone, because it's just so fun to be there with them and experience them play and be out and about.
So to get these dogs and cats into homes, let's talk a little bit about adoption and what the requirements are and what the process is. If you want to adopt a dog from the animal shelter, what do you do?
Well, the process is just a little bit different between cat and dog. Mm-hmm. Most of the steps are the same. So the first thing that we encourage you to do is go online, Clatsop County's website, and check out what animals we have available online. This has become more critical as we've gained foster facilities, because the pet you may want to come see may not be there. Mm-hmm. We may have it in somebody's home, and we have to make an appointment for you to meet it there, right? Shameless plug for Astoria Dispatch, they are one of our foster facilities right now, and anybody who's been watching our local social media pages has probably seen them advertising one of our pets on a very consistent basis. It's been a fantastic program, but that's a good example of one of those fosters where we're going to have to make an appointment to make sure that that animal can come to a place where it's safe to meet. So once that appointment is done, you want to bring all of the members of your family. Again, surprise pets are bad pets, so make sure that everybody has a chance to be in agreement that this is the new family member that's coming home. That is the same for dogs as it would be for cats. At this point, that's where you put in an application, and then we review it. Every pet has different requirements. So there's a nasty rumor going around out there that we require a 6-foot, one-paneled fence for every dog. That's simply not true. Some dogs require a fence, some dogs don't. We really have to just evaluate your individual lifestyle to see whether this dog is going to fit into that pattern, into your daily regimen, to know what its requirements are going to be. And you answer most of our questions through an application and then an interview with our trainers and our staff. So once that is done, for cats, if the cat is already altered and had all of its shots and it's ready to go home, there's a potential you could take that cat home today. Cats tend to adapt a little bit easier, and then when they struggle, they don't create as many animal control issues as dogs have the potential to do. So with dogs, we want to make sure that they're also meeting any existing dogs that are in your home as well. The last thing we want to do is send a dog home, and then you have a big, massive dog fight in the middle of your living room, and then we have to deal with the fallout from that. So we make sure that all of that potential is set aside on the shelter grounds before we approve the final adoption. And then the last step is a home inspection. We do want to go make sure. We would love to say that we trust everybody. We try to trust people as much as we can, but, you know, trust but verify.
Right.
And there have been times when things have not been... let's just say that folks embellished their descriptions of what they were doing and what they had for facilities. And we've had to say no as a result of that. So we are going to come just make sure that this pet has what it needs. And then sometimes on our home inspections, we see things that folks didn't consider. Let's say we have a dog that is going to have a problem with a high prey drive. And we come do the home inspection. Your place looks great, but 6 inches from your fence, you got somebody with a chicken coop.
Yeah.
Or a rabbit hutch. We're going to need to rethink that option.
Well, you mentioned the dogs at the Astoria Police Department, and it happens that I talked to Chief Kelly and the dispatch supervisor not too long ago. They are so happy with those dogs, and they have other police departments now asking them about having dogs at the police department, because for one thing, with the dispatchers, very tense job.
Very much.
The dogs have helped ease that tension for them. The whole place is actually in love with those dogs. So that was a major win. Wonderful thing. Well, I do know that adopting a dog from the animal shelter is pretty much a bargain, because you mentioned early on, and as we talked about, the cost of veterinary care being an issue. When you adopt a dog from the animal shelter, that's pretty much taken care of to that point. I mean, that dog has been...
Well, there's an expectation that you're going to get that pet established with a vet, and then there's always going to be ongoing veterinary care afterwards. But yes, we have all of their initial vaccines done. We have the spay and neuter done. And for an adoption cost of $125, that's hundreds of dollars worth of regular veterinary care that is covered under that adoption fee.
Talk to me a little about spay and neuter. I know there are some people who are a little reluctant to do that, but what's the cost of not doing it?
An overrun shelter, a Clatsop Animal Assistance that can't keep up with growing community need. Eventually, that's going to mean packs of stray dogs and cats running everywhere that are unhealthy, that are unsafe. This is how you get overwhelmed.
Yeah.
As a community. I mean, spay and neuter prevents the population boom first, and the overpopulation is what leads to more pets who are unable to be properly cared for. If you think it's expensive to spay one cat, to neuter one cat, try doing it for 16.
Yeah.
This is how you don't get to 16, right? So you want to stay on top of it. It also can prevent health concerns farther down the road for the pet. So pets that are spayed and neutered have fewer incidences of genital-related cancers or growths and tumors, that kind of thing.
Well, we're almost out of time. What haven't I asked you that we should be talking about? Is there something that we're missing here?
I just think the value that CAA and the county shelter bring to our community, but not only the people in our community, but animals in our community, right? So as much as we want to do to make sure that we're preparing the dog to work in their new family, we really care about these animals personally. And so we want to make sure we're doing what's best for them too. And I think that for decades now, that's what CAA's been here for, if that makes sense, and just fostered such a good community of volunteers, and they're your neighbors and your friends, and I'm proud to be a part of it.
Well, Lily Tollefson from Clatsop Animal Assistance and Justin Dersham, Clatsop County Animal Control Supervisor, thank you both very much for coming today.
Thank you, Roger.
Thank you, Roger.
You can get more information and check out some adoptable dogs and cats at clatsopanimalassistance.org. This is The Human Beat. I'm Roger Rocca. Thanks for listening.